coming Wednesday, April 14th, and Thursday, April 15th, Issues Etc. 24. It's a live 24-hour Bible study from 4 in the afternoon Central Time on April 14th through 4 in the afternoon Central on April 15th. Issues Etc. 24, Wednesday, April 14th, and Thursday, April 15th. Listen live at issuesetc.org.
Don't see why it should, but it's all right, 'cause it's all good. It's all good.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're going to talk about the goodness of God on this Tuesday afternoon, April the 13th, with Pastor George Borghardt. See, here's the problem. We would like to think that God is good, but it appears that the evidence is against him. Because if God is God, that means he's kind of responsible for all of this. And if God is God and he is good, the two don't exactly seem to match up in our minds, do they? Because lots of really, really bad things happen. Now, you say, no, God is good. I will maintain that regardless of what happens. But just wait. Just wait until something really bad happens in your life. And then you will see, as I have, at least in my experience, your knee-jerk reaction, your initial impulse, although you might stifle it, your initial impulse is to do what? Blame God. Question God, question what God is doing, and ultimately, if we're honest with ourselves, question whether this God is really that good altogether. Pastor George Borghardt is associate pastor at St. Mark Lutheran Church in Conroe, Texas. He authors an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled Good Things When Life Isn't Good. George, welcome back.
How's it going?
Very well. Hey, I understand that you are a big fan of the TV show that is in its last season, 24. What do you think about our new YouTube video, Issues Etc. 24?
I got a few questions. Who are you going to kill, Todd? interrogate?
Well,
what methods? Are you going to torture Bill Swirl at 2 in the morning? With, like, contemporary worship puppets and stuff? Does that make Jeff Chloe? I'm just wondering.
Well,
I like the video. Very cool.
Thank you very much. Now, see, since I have you on, I will ask you the captive... I mean, I can interrogate you since you've assigned that role to me. I ask you the captive guest question, which is, you know, we never know what's going to happen during 24 hours. You know what it's like doing radio. Things always go wrong. Will you serve as a backup guest for us, be on call during those 24 hours?
Yeah, so only if it's before 6 in the morning.
Oh, really? Okay, good. So you're willing to take the night owl shift.
I could take the night owl shift, but not early morning.
All right, now, you know very well that if you have thus promised, Jeff will hold you to it, and it's very likely you will get a 4 o'clock call from him, a 4 a.m. call from him on Thursday morning.
As long as you're not going to torture me, puppets will be fine.
I'll save the puppets for Swirla, who, by the way, has the cushiest shift of all. He gets to do the last 2 hours. And then, you know, that's a great position to work from because everybody's already come before you, and you can kind of judge the landscape and be able to emerge looking really, really good, especially when the host by that time will be a blithering idiot. He's going to seem brilliant in comparison to me.
That's assuming that Pastor Swirla knows where he is and what time it is. So, with somebody as brilliant as Bill.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Sometimes don't know.
Let's get to the goodness of God. If God is God and he is good, then he's responsible for all this mess down here. How do we respond to this?
Well, the first commandment would have us believe that God is good. That's good and God go together. Luther thought that the two words were related in German. They're not, but can you fault a guy for having such faith to believe that God is good and those two go together? Bad stuff that happens amongst us is usually our fault due to sin. We get ourselves into all sorts of things. You know, there was that thing that he told us wasn't good in the garden, but we ate it anyway because we thought we knew what was good, but it wasn't good for us and so brought death, hell, and suffering. But good, by its very definition, comes from God. And so what he gives is always good. even as opposed to the world's religion, which, as you said, if things go well for us, God must love us. If things go bad for us, well, that must come from Satan. Now, that's not true. God is always working good for us all the time. And if we have any questions about that, all we need to do is look at Good Friday. Good Friday, not bad Friday. Good Friday, as in He died for me Friday. And in Good Friday, I see that He's working all things out for my good.
Do you? I don't know. You know what kind of hardships in life you have experienced in your tender years, but do you have the same impulse that I have? I mean, I've seen some real in life's difficulties. Not until recently, but seen some real difficulties in life.
Yeah, the kind that.
Kind of change.
You don't have a job anymore.
Yeah. Well, and others too. That I mean, no, things that people don't know about.
Right.
That I'm not going to divulge, but things that change your life, that change you, because they can be that impactful. Do you have the impulse when such things happen to say, "What's up, God?"
Yeah, I used to think that everything in my life was working out perfectly all the time. That I had this charmed life, and that nothing, God was not going to do anything to me that I didn't sign on for. My daughter was born with a pretty rare genetic disorder, and with that comes the questions, you know. And one of the great questions that I heard, it was from a parishioner, but she expressed it really well. She was just trying to deal with what's going on with my family. She says, "Pastor, your wife is so sweet, and you're our pastor. How did this happen to you?" And we looked at ourselves, you know. I mean, you look at ourselves and go, "What did I do? What did I do to deserve this? What did my daughter do? What's going on in my world? Or what did I do to God? Why are you paying such attention to me like this?" You know, and that's our sin. See, we're going to determine what good is based upon our idea of good, and that's not the way the Lord works. Not at all. Not after Calvary. You know, He is working all things out, even in the most terrible of circumstances, even when they fire us, or when the doctor comes in and says, you know, we've got something strange on our chart, or when our daughter isn't born the way we thought she should be born. He's working all of that out for our good in Christ. Outside of Christ, I don't know what's going on. But in Christ, in my baptism, in the Lord's Supper, in the absolution spoken to me by my neighbor, in Christ, I know for certain one thing is true about God. He is doing good to me. He's trying to save me. And that isn't always clear at the bad point. A lot of times we look around and say, God, why are you like asleep on the job? Why are you so far from helping me? Sounds like a psalm. But if you have any questions about that, take a look at the cross and see what's going on there.
Okay, you've made a distinction just then, and I heard you do it before, and I want to explore it a little bit. Kind of the two different ways of thinking. You said everything outside Christ, and then everything inside Christ. One mm-hmm. is all uncertain. The other is completely rock-solid certain as to the goodness of God. And then earlier you talked about the religions of men tend to think, and all of us tend to think, according to our fallenness, that when things are going good, then it's good with God. And when things aren't going good, then I got to do something to make it up to Him so that things will be good between us again. The terms that theologians have used here are two different theologians, or two different theologies, one of glory, one of the cross. Mm-hmm. Talk about that.
Well, the theology of glory is the easy one. It sells millions of books. You can have your best life now. All right? If you pray, if you work, if you lead a good life, things will generally work out for you. If you're good, God will bless you. And it's going to work out your way. And usually it works out our way in terms of the green stuff, the money I want, the car I want, etc. Okay, if that's true, explain Jesus dead on the cross. Because you don't get any gooder or better than Jesus. And yet, there he is, hanging on the cross, answering for all my sins. So the theology of glory fails at the Jesus point. Now, in our world, where Jesus died for us on the cross, sometimes things don't work out the way we planned them. Sometimes we get laid off in our work. Sometimes we get sick. Sometimes we don't get better, and sometimes the ones we love don't get better. And in that world, where Christ died for us, the reality that we have to cling to is not it will be better, or it might be better, or if I just do this, that, if I, notice that again, I do this, that, or the other, theology of glory is all wrapped up in me, I do this, that, or the other, things will get better for me. Now, the reality to cling to is that God loves me this way. He loves me in the giving up of his Son. And that is true when the doctor comes and tells me that the test results are fine, you are clear, and you are free to go. Or when he says, you know, you're free to take your daughter, but we need to talk to you a little bit about some of her genetic stuff. At that point, where you are either released to go home or you're held off for a little extra time with the doctor, it is most true that Jesus died for you and that Jesus rose for you. See, because like you said, when they release us, we send the results to the prayer chain, oh, thank God, everything is fine. And that is true. Thank God, everything is fine. But you know what? When they tell us, you know, things aren't going so well, faith says, you know, I can receive this as a gift from God as well. Not a gift that I may like, but a gift that God is using to rescue me or rescue someone else.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, more of the goodness of God with Pastor George Borghardt after this.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Mondays, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday school lesson. You'll find these interviews under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen, and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend. issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen.
Why do you listen to Issues Etc.? We're preparing for a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. on Wednesday, April 14th and Thursday, April 15th, and we want to hear from you. Please leave your thoughts about this worldwide outreach on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from, 618-223-8384. Why do you listen to Issues Etc.? 618-223-8384.
Issues Etc. 24 begins in 24 hours and 14 minutes. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc. and you.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're talking about the goodness of God. Pastor George Borghardt is with us for about another 10 minutes. Then hour two of Issues Etc. We'll look at the Easter hymn, Awake My Heart with Gladness. Dr. Carl Fikencher will be our guest. You can Twitter questions or comments to us
on the goodness of God at IssuesETC. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Steve is listening in St. Louis. Hi, Steve.
Question. It appears to me that our natural position is we're all theologians of glory, and our and the alien or foreign is the theologian of the cross. And I was thinking back this week, I was reading about when James and John's mother came up to him and said, hey, you know, put my son on the left and my right, all the other apostles, or the disciples, were indignant. I was thinking, you know, if they're around Jesus and they don't get it, how are we not any better about wanting to think about, you know, what are we going to do to make God happy and put us in those new positions?
Steve, thank you very much. George.
If you eat this fruit, you'll be like God. Can you get any more theology of glory to that? You'll be like God. It'll be good for you. Wasn't good. But you're right. All of us by nature are theologians of glory. That's why millions of books are being sold by the theologians of glory, who tell you what you can do so that everything will be all right. I do love that example. When the sons of Zebedee, may we sit on your right hand and on your left when you come into your glory. And you and I, Todd, would be just like the apostles. We'd be like, man, why didn't we ask?
They beat us to the punch.
He beat us to the punch. He says, you know what? I can't give you those seats. Those seats are prepared for by my Father. Shall you drink? And I love it. Shall you drink the cup I drink, the suffering that I drink? Shall you be baptized with the baptism I drink? Oh yeah, we will. But you know, the right and left, the seats of glory, those are reserved by his dad for a robber and a robber. He comes into his glory on the cross. What a great example. Yes, we are seeking ways in which we can please God. It's the human religion from all of the, you know, the pagans are the same thing. You know, Zeus, if I ever served you, if I ever prayed prayers to you, if I ever made sacrifices to you, Homer's filled with that. Then do this for me. God, if you do this for me, I'll become a monk. You know, if you do this, I'll do this. If you make this work for me, I'll do this. Okay, as opposed to receiving what he has for us as a gift from a God who loves us. There's no doubt that he loves us, even us in the giving up of his son. A great example is Lazarus, another one from John's Gospel. Love John's Gospel. Lazarus is dying. And Jesus gets the sick call as pastor, you know. And what does he do? Do you remember what he does, Todd?
Well, he kind of sits on his hands.
Clearly that man doesn't answer to a voters' assembly. He doesn't run fast to him. In fact, he says his sickness won't end in death. And then when it does, he says, you know what, this is happening so that I would be glorified. My Father would be glorified. He raises Lazarus from the tomb. All right? All things work out good for Lazarus, even death, even the next time he died. Because the next time Lazarus died, he knew that there was one who would call him out of the tomb, for certain. See, we think death is a defeat. Well, you know, we prayed really hard that God would rescue us from this. No, he's already defeated death in Christ. He's already done that in Christ. He will raise us from the dead. Now, having said this, this is not so that we suddenly change our religion into a theology of glory. Go, okay, I'll just believe right and receive these things as a gift. And oh my goodness, what law you're putting on me, Pastor Borchardt, that I need to receive even suffering as a gift. Now, you know, it hurts. I can't put that into words how much it hurts. It hurts when things don't go the way we want. It hurts when we're rejected. It hurts when the doctor tells us that we're not well. It hurts. It hurts in a way that causes tears. It hurts in a way that causes weeping. It hurts as pastors when we see it. It hurts, and do not doubt that the Father is grieved as well. It because he gave up his son for us, and he wants only good for us, and he sees us in pain and in suffering, and he is He's got infinite options to try, and he's going to pick the best one for us to rescue us from this veil of tears. In a small sort of way, when my son scrapes his knee and he's hurting, I hurt too. Even though I'm not, I didn't scrape my knee. I'm like looking at it, going, you know, I know how much this hurts, son. And he's crying and he's bawling and he's got that thing going on with little kids where they can't breathe. You know, and he's in pain, and I'm hurting too. And so this, what I'm saying is not some sort of, if you just believe right, everything's going to go well for you, or you just accept everything. No, it's okay to hurt, and it's okay to look at God and go, I'm not really pleased with what you're doing. As long as you believe and know that no matter what happens to you, even death itself, he has worked it all out for your good in Christ. I was thinking about it on the way over here. The article in the Higher Things magazine is a lemon and lemonade, and I told them, please don't make that a lemon and lemonade, and they did it anyway. You know, or the trite expression, if God closes a door, he opens a
window. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Sometimes he closes a door and he leaves you in the room, locked in there, because he's doing what he's doing for your good. But what faith believes and faith trusts is that that God and good go together, so that no matter what happens, even if they fire you, even if they leave you stuck in that room, no matter what happens, he is working all things out for your good in Christ. All things. Even death itself.
Okay.
So, yeah, he doesn't always take lemons and make them lemonade. Sometimes you just have lemons. But they're lemons that are given to you for your good. Go ahead.
Well, a quick response to Frank in Illinois. He wants in on the conversation. He says, we have a special needs child, a daughter, and we were told that we sinned and that this was punishment. This was painful to hear when you are in the midst of pain, but later contributed to us leaving such bad theology. We know that because we are fallen, there is no perfection, and things just happen. We know that ultimately God will restore our frail bodies at the resurrection. In the meantime, he can use this for good. Your thoughts with only about a minute on Frank's email from Illinois.
Oh, yeah. I feel you. he takes even that terrible, well, it's your fault. Oh, the guilt that we went through, that we were responsible for the genetic makeup of our daughter. No. Our daughter has taught us more about the love of God in Christ Jesus by the way she handles herself as a baptized child of God than I ever learned at seminary or in the city of St. Louis. So, yes, he works all things out for our good, even the bad things that people say to us, the hurtful things. He uses it all to save us. He takes evil and overcomes evil with good. And if you have any questions about that, you look at Good Friday. Very good question.
Pastor George Borghardt is associate pastor at St. Mark Lutheran Church in Conroe, Texas, author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled Good Things When Life Isn't Good. And you can disregard the artwork they put in there as well. Check out the great work being done by this Lutheran youth organization, Higher Things, under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. George, thank you very much for your time today, and do not be surprised if your phone rings at 4 in the morning, Thursday morning, very early.
Previously on Issues, Etc. Take
yes.
care.
Yeah, we'll bring you back. We're happy to do it. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I want to hear from you. Why do you listen to Issues, Etc.? We know that so many of you do, and so faithfully listen, whether it's live or on demand. I want to know why you listen to Issues, Etc. We're not fishing for compliments so much as trying to offer encouragement to all our listeners to continue listening to Issues, Etc. You can leave your answer to that question, why do you listen to Issues, Etc., at the Issues, Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. You're also helping us prep for Issues, Etc. 24, because during the breaks we're going to be playing your answers to the question, why do you listen to Issues, Etc.? The number 618-223-8384, that's the Issues Etc. comment line. Call any time that's convenient for you with your answer to the question, why do you listen to Issues Etc.? Then listen for your comment played back during Issues Etc. 24, 618-223-8384. Martin Luther
was thinking deeply about the theology of the cross and the theology of glory and contrasting the two and aiming Christians back at the theology of the cross, he said, "Theologian of the cross just calls the thing what it is. When it's bad, it's bad. When it's good, it's good. And sometimes in this life, the only thing that we can know for sure that is truly good is what God is doing for us in Jesus Christ, what he has done for us there in his perfect life, death, and resurrection, and what he continues to do as he delivers that life, death, and resurrection to us along with the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Sometimes that's the only thing we can point to and say that is good." And it is. When we come back, we'll study the Easter hymn, "Awake My Heart with Gladness." Dr. Carl Fikencher will be our guest. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.